Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back into the Card Chronicle podcast. We are recording this on the evening of Friday, December 3rd, and if we're recording on an evening, you know what that means. It's the fourth emergency podcast in the history of the Card Chronicle podcast. You sickos called for it. You bullied me into doing it. Dan actually suggested it. He kind of bullied me into doing it as well, despite being, I think, three glasses of wine at least into his Friday evening. So this should be fun. I'm excited about it. And the reason why we're here doing this emergency podcast, I don't think I need to explain to anybody. It's pretty straightforward. But earlier today, we found out that Danny Manning is going to be the interim head coach Maryland men's basketball team. Dan Sinard, who's been a staunch advocate for Danny Manning in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary when it comes to his coaching abilities, he's celebrating. He's been happy all day. Dan, how do you feel about the return of your boy Danny Manning on the Terrapin sidelines?
Yeah, I mean, sound the alarm. This is definitely cause for the pod here. For Danny, for him to go to Wake Forest up to Maryland, pretty nice step up for him considering kind of what happened there. But just proves that people in the game know Danny's capable of, you know, leading a team, leading a Big Ten team. And if I'm Purdue, I'm probably shitting myself right now.
Danny and the Miracles. The Miracles are back. The Miracles are Eric Ayala and Fats Russell.
Yeah. I mean, we did play Maryland. Maybe we missed it when we played them. I guess I didn't see it at the time, but now with Danny at the helm, wouldn't be surprised to see them in New Orleans early April.
Like, did Mike Pegues get Mark Turgeon shit can? Can we talk about that for a second?
Mark Turgeon absolutely is awful. Like, that guy is terrible. I'm surprised he lasted this long. Like, he does bring in decent talent, but I had zero fear going into that game against Turgeon. So that was long overdue for Maryland.
Terp fans out of Turgatory, finally. Congrats to you guys. The real reason why we're recording this podcast is not just one reason. Sequence of events that have taken place over the course of the last couple of days, but specifically in the last 3 hours as we record this just before 8 o'clock on Friday night. Dan, we found out, I mean, we have to talk. We didn't get a chance to recap the Bahamas victories or the UK debacle or the Michigan State loss earlier this week, but we're getting to this now because new shit has come to light. And, you know, this week there had been buzz that potentially, if a move was made on Scott Satterfield, Jeff Brohm could be brought home. It became the talk of the town. And if you don't listen to the radio show, fine. I totally understand. I said some things on Thursday that people really ran with, and I think misquoted. I mean, you can listen to the podcast. It's out there. It's my least favorite thing about radio. It's the one thing that I didn't miss is people just making up shit that you said or not hearing shit correctly. Because I got home from radio yesterday and somebody, caller Leo, my guy, if you're listening to this, sent me a text. He's like, I listened to every second of the show. I don't remember you saying this. And it was a screenshot from one of the threads on one of the message boards where it was like, Rutherford saying there's a meeting between Ty Ray and Brohm set for next Tuesday. And I was like, no. Absolutely not. The two things that I said on Thursday's show, and I'd said the second thing before, but I guess it didn't carry as much weight earlier in the week, but I said I wasn't sure that Satterfield was 100% coming back. I knew that Satterfield and Ty Ray had not had a conversation since the end of the season, the whole sit down, let's review things. So I knew that conversation was still to be had. And I said, if offered the job, Jeff Brohm will take it. I I'm 100% confident in that statement. I still am. I think that there was some thought that maybe this could be a possibility, that this Brom thing could actually happen. So that's the chirping that's happening all Thursday night into Friday. Friday at about 5 o'clock, Eric Crawford, who Thursday night, I think, had talked to somebody at the U of L women's basketball game and felt confident in saying that Satterfield's going to be retained for at least one more season. Crawford writes the story with comments from Vince Tyre saying, Sat's back. Satterfield's not going anywhere. Tyre kind of painted as there was never any indication, there was never any real decision. We had our normal regular season, end of the year meeting, and the players love him, and I've got confidence, and let's move forward. An hour after that, which the news sends Louisville fan base into it was like the Kentucky Sweet 16 loss amplified and dropped on 2021. It was just people were losing their damn mind. Everybody is furious. I'm definitely disappointed, but I mean, the text line at my radio show, there were threats of violence. There a million texts that I could not read on air. As I'm leaving the station, as I'm driving home, this is about 6:30, Pete Thamel of Yahoo fame tweets out that Vince Tyre is a candidate for the Florida State Athletic Director job and that he's a surprise candidate competing for the gig, implying that he is actively trying to get that job, not that he's just being thought about by Florida State and can say thanks but no thanks. And the question that I have for you, Dan Sinard, in Columbus, Ohio, is this. What the fuck is happening?
Oh my.
What the fuck is going on?
I am just a Louisville fan standing in front of a mic asking to be loved by somebody. I mean, I don't even know where to turn at this point. It feels like we're unwanted. You're trying to believe one thing and then you hear another thing. I don't know who wants to be here. You know, it's tough. I mean, it just seems like our fan base is almost already 100% out on Sat. When that news came out that he was going to be retained, which was like already kind of bad to start with. And then to just snowball, you throw in this, you know, Vince Tyre news. I don't even really know, you know, where to start on this. But I don't even know how you rectify it if they do both end up staying. Like it's going to take like almost like a town hall type meeting with Tyre, Satterfield, and probably, you know, President Neely as well.
Good idea, actually.
Put the fan base at ease. Because right now, it's a complete shit show. I could 100% agree with anyone who doesn't have faith in the direction of our football program.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this at 8. The Vince Tyre news broke about an hour and a half ago. Vince has not said anything. There's been no tweets, no comments to Eric Crawford, no quotes of that nature. And I'll tell you what's already happening. And by the time you're listening to this, this may be widespread, but people are starting to spread the word that this is Neely Bendapudi's doing. Like the blame is being shifted already. Like you're seeing tweets out there. You're seeing, hey, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing that. You're seeing people who are putting this out there that Vince couldn't make this decision. Sort of the same deal that we heard after the Chris Mack suspension. You know, Mack wanted no suspension, or Ty wanted no suspension, and Neely wanted him fired, and they met in the middle, and it was a 6-game suspension where he couldn't have any contact with the team. Well, now the rumor and the thing that everybody's talking about is Neely wouldn't let him make the decision about the head coach. That's why the Florida State rumor comes out. Satterfield wants to leave, but he can't go. I mean, it's all just an absolute clusterfuck, and you're right. There's no sense that it's going in any sort of positive direction. Even if there's no truth to the things that are being said out there, you very clearly have some sort of rift between athletics and the president's office, which I thought we were moving past after like the 2017 era, but you're clearly not. You clearly have a fan base that I don't think has any faith in anybody right now to make the right decisions. And how the fuck do you sell this 2022 Louisville football season?
Right.
There's no way for U of L or Tyre, if he does come back, or the marketing department, or Satterfield himself, to win the next 8 months. The only way to turn this whole thing around, it's the same conversation we were having last summer, is win more fucking games. And you can't even begin to accomplish that until you get to September. The next 8 months are unwinnable for Louisville if you're fighting the battle of perception, because fans are pissed off. The attendance is going to be bad. There's no question about it. you're going to, I think they open the season at Syracuse. That hasn't been announced, but if you look at the ACC schedules, that's the only team we could possibly play. Then you go to UCF in week two. Your first home game won't be till week three. Maybe if you're 2-0, it's a little bit better than it was for the first game this year. I can't imagine that, though. I don't think that's going to sway a whole lot of people. Malik Cunningham coming back is nice. Losing Jordan Watkins was bad. If you do lose more people, which is another rumor that's out there, it's going to be bad. It's all just a complete clusterfuck. And, you know, the moral of the story is, Dan, don't lose to Kentucky by 31 at home in a game that you're favored to win.
Sure. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of at a loss for words right now. It's a shame that it's gotten to the point where it's at. And the lack of communication to the fan base is very glaring at this point. You know, we read statements from Tyra through Eric Crawford, you know, about the meeting or whatnot. But at this point, if now it's come out that he's obviously pursuing Florida State, but you would think if he was the guy at Louisville, he wanted to rectify this program. He wanted to make sure that the fan base was on the same page. You know, he would be in front of a mic, calming the fans, letting them know what the plan is, giving a step-by-step. And there's been none of that. We're just flailing out in the wind, holding on to pieces of rumors and praying that something comes to fruition that, you know, that we want. And right now we have nothing but questions. And I don't know. There's really nothing I can add to that, you know, besides the fact that I'm just disappointed it's gotten to this place. When Vince came on board, and I'm not 100%, like, the Neely part to me, the pieces make sense. Like, if she was the one that wanted to retain Sat and Vince was like, hell, if that's the case, then I'm Bolton. I mean, those pieces kind of do make sense to me. So I don't want to 100% put this on Vince Tyre. But I will say, when he took the job, I was glad that he did stabilize things. But, man, I had such high hopes for him. And just for whatever reason, it just has not worked out. And it seems like it's going to have a bad ending here.
You can see how people would connect those dots because, and again, I'm speculating here. I want to state that after this week's events, I want to state that outright. I want to say this very strongly. Like, I don't get anything from the powers that be at U of L anymore, at least. Like, there's nobody reaching out to me who's saying, hey, here's this. Like, a guy was criticizing me after the UK game for not being hard enough on Satterfield, which is kind of hilarious because the opposite has been the criticism I've gotten in the 5 months prior. But he's like, you just want to keep getting information from Vince Tyre. I'm like, Vince Tyre is not giving me anything. Vince Tyre is not reaching out to me. Neely Bendapudi, I don't think has any idea who I am. So I have no inside knowledge here. But you can see why people are connecting those dots, because for Bendapudi, she was coming here to clean up the image of the program, clean up the image of the school, and that's why she fought so vehemently to get Chris Mack suspended. She, you know, there were people who said she wanted him fired because he had a no zero tolerance policy. He knew what he was walking into, and there were violations committed. And with Scott Satterfield, I'm sure her stance would be he's carried himself the right way. He's the antithesis of Bobby Petrino. They may not be winning enough, but sports and winning, it's secondary. We've got to clean up the whole image of the school and all that stuff. And no, I hate to say it, but no, like that can't be the way that things work here. And the lack of communication is a significant concern. I think you're totally right. And Vince Tyre, you know, his first year on the job, he was holding press conferences when like a new field hockey player.
Yeah, if we got a new sponsor, we had a press conference.
Yeah, you know, new jerseys for the lacrosse team press conference. And now we're not hearing from him. We go this whole week without hearing anything. And then a significant announcement is made. There's no press conference. This news comes out. He's not, at least as of right now, denying anything on Twitter or putting out a statement. Like, we need to hear things because this is a – there's less clarity when it comes to U of L athletics than there's ever been in my entire lifetime, and that shouldn't be the case. Like, right now, the fans are – they're not just pissed anymore. It's not just pure anger. Everybody's concerned about the direction of the program because in 2017 and 2018, things were awful, but we still all felt like at some point we're going to get out from underneath all of this, and Louisville men's basketball is going to go back to being Louisville men's basketball, and Louisville football is going to regain the momentum that we had coming into the ACC and in those first few years as a member of the ACC. And now it's not looking like such a sure thing that that's going to happen, at least anytime soon. And people are worried. I'm worried. And it would be nice to hear something to give us some sort of comfort. And right now, all we're getting is vague reports out there that are doing anything besides providing comfort. It's all very unsettling.
Yeah, we're getting bits and pieces fed to us by certain media members that to try to calm the waters that maybe Randy Shannon could be coming on board next year. Let me tell you, now I'm all in. You totally got me. I'm totally all in. Randy Shannon. My God, that guy has like interim takeover written all over him. But
Dino Gaudio of football is who's going to save this program. I mean, you're right. He is like, he's captain interim.
It's unbelievable that, you know, that's even mentioned to try to, you know, kind of calm the fan base. But I mean, we're flailing in the wind. Imagine the recruits. Imagine the people we're trying to recruit. Imagine the parents of the recruit. You know, I mean, I'm sure these people have the internet. They have Twitter. They're reading things. I mean, our program looks like a complete dumpster fire right now. I mean, we did go 6-6. We're in a bowl. So it's not like we were 2-10 in the last year of the Bobby Petrino era, but there's almost less clarity because at least with that year, you knew Bobby was on the way out. Like right now, we don't know what the hell's going on. And that makes it more frustrating. So, I don't know, man. Tough times.
Hey, just wait until we get our Cure Bowl matchup against SMU, and everybody's gonna be right back on board. We're gonna be fine. It's gonna be great. I mean, imagine if we do. Like, what if we played like Kent State in the Bahamas Bowl and just got fucking housed? Like, I mean, it would be.
At this point, it would not shock me at all.
At least we could try to have some fun with whatever bowl game this is, and I guess we'll find out on Sunday where this team is playing. But man, it's. I just don't know where we go from here. And I guess ahead is the only answer, but I felt for so long that eventually we're going to get back to quote unquote normal or something that seems close to normal. And it's feeling like this is just the new reality. Like we are just constantly going to be living in a state of chaos, at least for the next few years. And I know there's been some, you know, there was some buzz for a long time that Vince Tyree, when his contract runs out in June, that's going to be it for him here. And I don't know if that's the case, but if so, it makes keeping Satterfield a little bit more explainable. You don't want to make that move if you're not going to be around to deal with the benefits or the losses. But again, the lack of clarity with everything is just so concerning. And here we are. And now this football program that not a whole lot of people have faith in is really up against it. I mean, if Satterfield doesn't go at least 8-4 next season, the program's in a terrible spot because nobody is okay with 7-5. Nobody's okay with 6-6. Nobody's okay with this sort of guaranteed mediocrity that seems to be on the table if you don't get it done next year. And that's a whole hell of a lot of pressure on everybody. I mean, it's not just a make or break season for Satterfield. It kind of feels like a make or break season for this new era of Louisville football, which is extended far, far too long. Like I thought we were going to be back to looking like a legitimate contender right below Clemson in the Atlantic Division by now, and we haven't gotten there. And there's the lack of buzz on the recruiting trail, the inability to land that sort of transformational talent that Strong was able to land with Teddy Bridgewater and Bobby was able to land with Lamar. That's not helping Satterfield. He doesn't have any sort of buzz. There's no player that people are clamoring to see for in any of those open practices, but people are clamoring over those fences to get a glimpse of. Everybody is just angry and the other people are apathetic.
Yeah. No, you're right. And it's the way we lost to Kentucky. It's not that we got blown out. It's that they absolutely just kicked our shit in. I mean, it was an absolute ass beating from the first snap. All our fears came true. I mean, we talked about it on the pod before. God, I hope this doesn't turn into the 2019 or whatever year that was, both years, where they just ran it down our throats, and that's exactly what happened. But I think the thing that hurts the most is the one thing Louisville football fans are most sensitive to after the past 10 years is loyalty. And like you said, even 7-5, that's not going to do it. Even 8-4, I don't even know if wins are going to do it next year. I think fans are just so fed up because at one point, Sat already had his foot out the door. And it just seems like perhaps, and again, we don't know for sure, but perhaps there was an option to bring back a guy who grew up in Louisville. And
I'm saying it for sure. I'm putting it out there for sure. Beyond the shadow of any reasonable doubt, if offered the job, Jeff Brohm would have come, and he wanted to come.
I mean, it's just the biggest knife twist ever. I mean, obviously for me and you personal reasons, we're guys or whatever, but geez, I mean, I just can't even fathom that. It's almost like you're trying to hurt our program purposely if that's on the table and you're not willing to go that direction. So, I don't know. I'm scared for the program right now. I feel for all the fans. We'll get this, you know, get through this together, but it's definitely dark times right now.
And that was one of the reasons why the Satterfield lack of loyalty stuff, that was one of the reasons why I thought that this Brohm move could be something that was on that Vince wanted to do, because unless this Neely stuff is true, it was a cut and dry situation. Like it was Vince Tyree's decision to make. I believe that he knew he could get Brohm if he wanted to this time, or Satterfield was the other option. So it was Satterfield year four or Jeff Brohm. And the reason why I thought he might go for the change was, why would you be loyal to a guy who wasn't loyal to you?
Right.
I know that his 500 record is explainable. I know that it's not nearly as straightforward as it was after year three of Ron Cooper or year three of Steve Kragthorpe, and that makes it hard and all that stuff. But he flirted with South Carolina behind your back. That right there gives you ammo that Louisville fans will back you up on. And the other thing is, let's say you're right about Satterfield. Let's say you're keeping Scott Satterfield around because you think he's right there on the precipice of getting it done and winning some games. And they, you know, Tyree brought it up in his comments to Eric Crawford. Four games we had a chance to win. Two of them were right there in the final seconds. It easily could have been an 8-4 or a 9-3 season. Let's say you believe that that's coming in 2022. How much faith do you have that Satterfield isn't going to immediately bolt for another job once he has some success here? Because he doesn't strike me as a guy who wants to be here right now. He certainly has not conveyed that to the fan base. Like, I hope he has success next year because I'm a Louisville fan and I want to see Louisville have success in whatever it does. But if he goes 9-3 and a similar job to Louisville or a slight step up comes available and they come calling, I've got no faith that he's going to say thanks but no thanks. So why should we invest our time and our effort and our faith in him at this point? That's kind of where I am. But, hey, man, prove me wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, I honestly don't know at this point what the leaders at Louisville can do to get this fan base back on board. It'll be interesting. I mean, they're going to have to talk at some point. I'm interested to see what they say, or if they say anything. But, you know, they get a F in communication so far because it's been terrible. Like I said, I feel for the fans that are just kind of left out here wondering. But, you know, we're looking for someone to wrap our arms around. I mean, this fan base is dying to, like, have someone to embrace. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people are clamoring for Brohm, because they just know, like, man, this guy would be all in. He bleeds Louisville. And, like, right now, I mean, we just – it doesn't seem like we have that. And it's tough. Like, I know I'm looking for someone to go all in with. And unfortunately, I mean, Sat, you know, here we go again. Nice guy, but just doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy right now. So, I don't know, man. It's basketball season. But
it's pure bowl season, baby. It's first responders bowl season. It's Cheez-It bowl season, wherever the hell we're going.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, I need to, like, look up all the bowl locations and see what would be the funniest landing spot, because that's where I want to go. I don't know what the ACC tie-ins are, but I need to give it a gander.
I did love that one of the potential locations for the tie-ins that we're going to fall into is Dallas for the First Responders Bowl. And we told our mutual good friend Weber, who lives there, and he was like, fuck, that means I'm going to have to go, doesn't it? He's like... He's like bowl game in Dallas. I've lived here my whole life. I'm a diehard Louisville fan. He's like, I can't excuse not going to the game, but I really don't want to. That's where we are right now. The last thing that I really want to say, because this doesn't need to be a long podcast. The lack of transparency is fucking maddening.
It would be
right now if we didn't have the past that we do. But in 2017 and early 2018, these new people come to U of L and they give us this message of everything's a disaster, everything's been awful, we're going to clean this up, and we're going to keep you guys in the loop. We're going to be open and honest. There was too much done behind closed doors. There was too many unknowns before we got here. And now everything's out in the open. We want to be straightforward with you guys. There hasn't been a whole lot of transparency recently with U of L, specifically in the athletic department. If there is any truth whatsoever to Neely Bendapudi and the Chris Mack stuff, we should have known about that. If there's any truth whatsoever to some power struggle behind closed doors between Bendapudi and Ty Ray and somebody making the call, we should know who made the call about Scott Satterfield beyond the shadow of any reasonable doubt. And if it is Vince, come out and be definitive about that. Put to bed any of the rumors out there because nobody knows what's going on. And it's why I feel like we can't talk that in depth about a lot of these things on this podcast because everything's so murky. I mean, I may hit stop on the record button here, and 2 hours from now we could have 50 details that weren't anywhere in existence at 8 o'clock. We just don't know. And that's on everybody at U of L. That's on the brass at U of L. Keep us in the loop. And at the end of the day, I hate doing this stuff. I hate talking about this stuff. I talk to some friends who are fans of other programs and they'll be like, I couldn't tell you the name of our president. I forget our athletic director's name half the time. And I'm like, my God, embrace the world that you live in. Cherish this shit. You don't know how lucky you have it because I don't like talking about the ins and the outs of this drama and the backdoor stuff and who's texting who about this and getting a million tips a day from people on my phone and via DM on Twitter. Just win some more fucking games in football and men's basketball.
We started this pod to do that. I mean, we just wanted to talk about the games and what we liked and disliked about the games. And I feel like over 50% has been talked about, you know, back, you know, closed door meetings that we have no idea what's going on and just guessing. And sometimes we end up looking really stupid because we were way off. So, I mean, you're exactly right. It's bullshit. I think they owe us that much. I don't know. I'm pretty fucking pissed, to be honest. I mean, it's gotten to the point. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. We've been going on this for like, you know, this whole mess in the athletic department has been going on for fucking 6 to 7 years. It's getting to the point where it's reached a boiling point and they're going to lose fans for good if they're not careful. I don't know, man. I mean, we've pretty much said it all. Just don't lose to NC State tomorrow, for the love of God, please.
I mean, I think the losing fans thing has already happened to a degree.
Yeah.
I think, like, the attendance, I know it's down everywhere, and it's a national talking point with virtually every sport, especially when teams aren't winning big enough. But had the off-the-field/off-the-court stuff not been going on for the past 6 years, and had people not been so angered by some of the moves of the administration, both old and new, I don't think attendance this past season for football or basketball right now would be nearly as dismal as it's been. And I don't see that changing significantly anytime soon. It's going to take a couple of years of sustained winning and sustained staying out of the news for really negative and embarrassing reasons for some people to be brought back into the fold, or at least to be brought back into the fold and to care as much as they did 10 years ago. And it's a tough hill to climb at this point because we're not seeing a whole lot of strong evidence that those days are on the horizon, the near horizon. And that's what's so frustrating about everything. I mean, I'm pretty good, I feel like, at using developing coping mechanisms and using humor as a way to deal with stuff like this. And I'm running out of, like, I can't be the comedy therapist for everybody forever. Like, at some point, I want to get back to having fun, genuine fun, not laughing at ourselves and trying to laugh away the pain. Like, I'd like to see another men's basketball national title in my lifetime. I'd love to see the first ever football national title in my lifetime. I'd settle for being competent in both sports at the same time at this point. It's just, it's all so maddening. And we got to hear from somebody. Let us know what the fuck's going on. Let us know that you guys are all invested and that you care. Because right now, it just feels like we don't have anywhere to turn. You mentioned the, like, I need a hug. I feel like Matt Saracen in that Friday Night Lights episode where he's just crying in the shower and he's like, You left me for a better job. Your daughter left me for a better man. My dad left me for Iraq. Like, that's where I am right now. It's like, why does everybody leave me? What's wrong with me? We're Matt Saracen crying in the shower right now.
You know what, man? I was thinking about this. Like, think about how me and you grew up, like, in the Denny Crum era. Like, you know, there was, I mean, yeah, we had a couple, you know, probation things, but nothing that was like national news as far as like embarrassments go. You know, these kids growing up, they're like supposed to, we want them to become Louisville fans. I mean, it's so hard right now. Like I feel bad. Like I'm trying to get my son into it. And I mean, he doesn't know any of this that's going on. He's 7 years old, but it just feels like a different time. And like, it sucks because we know what the university and the athletic department is capable of. When we were on our run, you know, from, you know, our two titles in the 80s, but really like from like 2009 through 2013, I mean, the athletic department was buzzing, you know, the fan base, the support was second to none. So we know what it's capable of, and to see kind of where it's at right now, it's honestly pretty disheartening. So will we get back there? I believe so. I just, at this point, it's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel.
Like, is baby John Rutherford's first word going to be extortion?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to keep my son off Twitter until he's at least like 18 so he doesn't read any of this shit.
I've already thought about it. Like John in 10, 12 years being like, hey, Dad, did you know about this stuff that happened in 2015 and 2018? I'll be like, sit down, son. It's time for us. Like, that's the real talk that Louisville dads have to have. Like, when you talk about having the talk with your son, it's no longer about sex and how our bodies work. It's going to be about how to tell him what was happening with U of L athletics from 2015 through at least 2021.
Exactly. That's going to be the new, that's the new birds and the bees talk. It's like,
exactly.
Dan
had the talk with Cam today. Like, all of our friends are like, oh no, how'd that go? Pour out a beer for him tonight. Pour out a drink.
It's like, sit down, son. I want to tell you about someone named Katina.
Brandon said he's having the talk with little Carson next week, so he'll be right there with you. Like, we're all gonna have to do it at some point, 5-10 years down the line. My God, what a bizarre world to be living in. But
we're gonna get past this. Let's hear from someone. Let's get some clarity. I mean, as much as it sucks, man, I still want to, like, I feel bad for the players, man. Like, this just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, we need to rally around them. And I know that's tough. And I know people are like, fuck this. Like, I'm not renewing my tickets, blah, blah, blah. But, like, when it comes down to it, you got to think about the players, the work that they're putting in. And that's really all that counts. So let's hear something and, you know, maybe see where we can go from there.
Hey, we flipped a 3-star tight end from Georgia Tech yesterday, so it's not bad.
I saw that. I texted you. I was like, imagine what Brom could do with this kid. And then,
God damn it. Here we go. All right. Well, we've talked long enough. I've got to get ready to put these kids to sleep. My poor wife. I'm hearing what sounds like the lightning in 1,000 different directions crashing down at the same time upstairs, so I've probably got to get out of here.
Just walk back in our storage area and is getting Christmas presents out to wrap. So that's where I'm at right now.
All right. Well, everybody enjoy your evenings. Have a drink or 15 or whatever is going to make you feel better about this. Let's beat NC State tomorrow. Subscribe to the pod if you haven't already. Card Chronicle Podcast is where you can find it. I love saying that we were doing the emergency pod on Twitter and people are like, what's the name? And I'm like, well, this is going to set the bar pretty high for the creativity of the actual content, but it's the Card Chronicle Podcast, so you should be able to find it pretty easily.
Schitt's Creek without a paddle. It's like
subscribe to the pod wherever you can find it. I'm sure we'll have an episode next week recapping whatever happens tomorrow in Raleigh and whatever other batshit crazy news comes to light over the next 48 or 72 hours. Enjoy your weekends. Have a good one. Try to have some fun. Try not to think about Cardinal athletics. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Go Cards!
All right, guys. Go Cards!
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.